I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
I think what aren't being taught is this idea. It's called, there are different people call it different things. One psychologist might call it cascading care, where you have this idea of a caretaker and a dependent. And the parent is that caretaker, that person who's the authority. And I think sometimes we hedge away from talking about authority or hierarchy or alpha because it can have a really negative connotation. You know, we like picked up the negativity of it. But with parenting and children, we do need to have a leader so that there can be some, the child can be in the dependent role. It allows their nervous systems to relax and say, oh, mom can take care of me. I can relax and just trust that she's got me.
Everyone, if you're looking to be inspired, motivated, educated, and entertained, you have come to the right place. Welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast, the podcast where we explore your fitness, life mindsets, and actions that help you become unstoppable. You're worth it, and it's time to finally make changes in your life that will last you the rest of your life. Hey everyone, welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast. I am Melissa Vogel, your host. Welcome to the show. I am so excited for this episode today because we're talking about parenting again, connecting with your kids. Our guest is absolutely amazing. Your mind is going to be blown away by this episode. So if you are a parent, adult children, smaller kids, toddlers, grandkids, if you are in a relationship with someone, if you work with people, if you have neighbors, you're going to want to listen to this episode. Do you see how I kept that list going on and on and on? It's not an episode just for parents with like young kids. That's what I think a lot of people think when they think, oh, this is a parenting one. No. We're going to be talking about how to connect and then to get people to listen to you, not to like follow direction always, but to listen to you, to actually hear what you're saying, because being heard is a beautiful thing because then you can hear other people. So, oh my God. Okay. I can't wait to dive into all that. How's everyone doing? I hope everyone is enjoying the weather. We have hit June. Oh my God. How did this happen? And if you guys have been listening, you know, we have a challenge this month. I was on the fence about doing it. We're doing it. So I had to mention that right off the bat, you guys, June 5th, we start. So there's still time to get in. Go to the show notes, click on the link. You can purchase and get in. And it is only $127. You're going to get the Bomb Mom app, workouts, me, guidance, put an accountability group. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited to do this challenge with you guys because it's going to help keep me on track. We're going to have some other bomb moms in there. It's going to be awesome. So definitely get into that challenge. It's only 30 days and we start on the 5th. So we have 4 full weeks. Week 1 and 2, you get workouts. Week 3 and 4, you get different workouts. And that is so you can actually get better at them, get a little bit stronger. Trust me, there's a whole method to my madness. We're going to help you on some mindset work, nutrition. As soon as you click, you're going to get sent an email and it's going to have a foods to fuel by list. That's literally like our Bomb Mom food list. It's got pictures on there, tell you what to get, take to the store. I like to download it to my phone, so I just have it there. And it's a guide, like to actually help you. So many good things. Get into this Bomb Mom challenge. It starts June 5th. Again, check the show notes. Also, we will be opening the doors and having another boot camp. So keep your ears and eyes open for more information on that. We will probably be starting in August. So many things are in store, but right now we are just going to take it one day at a time, one step at a time. And what we're going to focus on right now is just June. Getting through June, our kids will be home, staying on track with our own health and wellness goals, right? Because that's going to help us recharge our battery. That is going to help us be a better employee, boss, all areas of your life, partner, spouse, whatever. Keep taking care of you over the summer. Remember, every barbecue you're at, you don't have to indulge. You really don't. Bring a G2G bar. It's my favorite. I haven't talked about G2G bar in a while. It's G as in girl, 2GBar.com. It's a protein bar. It's amazing. That's my take with me to like barbecues and stuff. Like, or if I'm going somewhere, I'm going to be gone for a while and I need a snack and I want it to taste good. Use the code Melissa. When you order, go online, do it. You'll save like 15% off. But be prepared. I bring that up because I want you to be prepared. When you're going on a trip, when you're traveling, when you're going to be at a baseball game or a tournament over the weekend, be prepared. Have something, because if you don't, that's when we fail the most, okay? And then we get mad at ourselves, and then we're not the best parent or partner to anyone. And then it all trickles down to everything else. So stay on top of your goals. Be prepared with your food. Keep showing up at the gym. Have space designed in your home where you can work out at home if you have little ones and there's like absolutely no daycare or whatever. Have a plan in place. And if you need help with that, I'm your girl. Join our challenge. Let's do this thing. Also, we are having an onboarding group for June. So if you're someone that's like, I don't need a challenge, like I need a full like life overhaul, upgrade, I'm ready for all, Melissa, like I've been listening to you for a while and I want to do this, let's talk. Email me, info@melissavogelfitness.com. Shoot me a DM on Instagram. Everything will be in the show notes. There'll also be a link where you can book a call with me. Book a call. Let's talk. Let's see if Bob Mom's a fit for you. We start that June 5th as well. So you have a couple options, total life upgrade, or hey, I just need to get my feet wet and do a challenge. You pick, okay? You pick. Either way, move forward. Now, speaking of moving forward and staying on top of ourselves so we can be the best for others and for ourselves, we have a guest on today that's going to help you learn how to communicate and connect and do all of the things. Her name is Andy Martineau, and Andy is a mom of six, a reformed yeller, a best-selling author of the book Connect Method Parenting, and she's the creator of Connect Method Parenting, which is a breakthrough parenting framework that leverages connection as the primary mechanism for influencing children and everyone else. Her approach helps parents discover why their kids don't listen and shows them step-by-step process of regaining influence and building relationships that will last a lifetime, with hands-on experience raising her own children ages 14 to 23 and over 10 years of experience in parenting coaching. Andy has helped over 10,000 parents learn the parenting methodology that gets their kids to want to listen. Andy is absolutely incredible. This is such a good podcast. Episode. It's a good podcast, but it's a great episode too. So seriously, if you have teenagers, little kids, anyone you're in a relationship with, like, do not miss this, because it is talking about how to build that relationship so you can influence your kids and connect with them, and then they listen. They have to trust you. Parents are always like, my kids don't listen. They just don't listen to me. If you've ever found yourself saying that, you, my friend, need to listen to this episode. It is that good. And you have to get Andy's book, Connect Method Parenting, How to Get Your Kids to Listen to You Without the Yelling, Ultimatums, and Bribes. It's awesome, you guys. It's so good. Now, I want you to take some notes on this episode, because we dive into a lot of different topics. If you're driving or working out, whatever, totally fine. Everything's in the show notes. But if you can, and you have a little pen and paper, write a couple things down, because there were many, many aha moments during this episode that I was even like, oh my God, my mind is blown right now. I totally can relate to what you're saying. And she even brought a few things up that I could understand from my childhood and how I was parented and just different situations with how I was brought up, I'm like, oh my God, that's why I'm an alpha today. That's how I developed into the woman I am today. Mind blown. You guys are going to learn a lot too. So check out the show notes, get into our challenge, or become a bomb mom. Go to the show notes. Everything's there. Get Andy's book. Everyone, enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast. Help me welcome Andy Martineau to the show. Welcome, Andy.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to have a conversation about all things parenting.
So, right? I have to just make fun of us because we had to record this a couple times because yes. I literally kept calling her Andrea. And then she's like, well, it is my real name.
But nobody calls me that. That was like the get in trouble name, you know,
right?
Mom saying full name.
Yeah.
Listen now. Yeah. That's so funny.
So good. That was fun. But here yeah. we are talking all things parenting. And this is such a good time of year to talk about this because all the kids are going to be home.
Mm-hmm.
It's they summertime. Are. It is when parents, I think, well, let's be real, moms, we're figuring it out how to like deal with still working, doing the house and everything that needs to be done and managing the kids here, summer sports, everything. And we like have very short fuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard sometimes.
Have you ever seen that one? I think it's like a real audio or like this meme or something. And the mom goes outside in the backyard and she's like, attention neighbors, this is your PSA. If you hear me yelling, no one's dying. I just asked my kids 35,000 times to do something and then I lost my shit.
Oh my gosh. That's so true. Right. I think all of us can relate to having a moment where we've done that 35,000 times. It feels like, yeah, just pick up your clothes. They're yes. yours. You should pick them up, you know.
That kind absolutely. Of. And you're a mom of six. So you I totally am. Get it. Mom of six, you are a refined yeller. Is that what we call it? A reformed yeller.
Reformed. That means I used to do it. I used to be the mom saying to everybody in the back. So you were just talking about, just so you know.
I said refined.
Yeah, refined. I wish. Or no, that's a, yeah, no mom wants to be refined. I've gotten really good at it. No, that does kind of feel true though, too. You know, you get so good at your bad habits,
but right.
yeah, reformed yeller. Yeah.
Reformed yeller.
Yeah.
That's right. And you're a best-selling author. You have the book yeah. Connect Method Parenting, which is a breakthrough mm-hmm. parenting framework that leverages connection as the primary mechanism of influencing children. I love that. And how your whole methodology is all about like connecting with the child.
Right.
Listening, understanding, right? Their needs, demands versus like,
yeah. Versus thinking we're trying to control from the outside, like getting to the heart of them with us, the relationship, understanding the power of attachment and all of that stuff that, you know, as we talk about it, it's going to feel very intuitive and obvious, but in the heat of the moment, it flies out the window and all we can go to is just threatening or, you know, the old ways, you know? So yeah.
That's right. So you're telling us there is hope for us. We don't have to finally yeah, just hope. Lose it and like turn into crazy psycho mom.
Yeah, there is hope for all of us. I mean, if I can recover from my, I mean, I had six kids in 8 years. So it was a pressure cooker of trying to figure out how to do this and wildly failing.
I love
being
that.
The worst of the worst, you know, to figure out a different way.
I love that you failed.
Doesn't work. Failed bad, failed hard. Yeah, it was the failures that finally got me to look a different direction. I think that's how it is in life, though. It's our failures that actually can be our greatest lessons,
absolutely.
Our greatest gifts.
I totally agree. I can totally relate to that. Like the way I have failed so many clients over my years of being a trainer.
Yeah.
And that's what led me here and how I coach and train people now. It's because it's like, oh no, I've totally screwed people up. Not like that yeah. intentionally, but like doing the industry standards and what I just thought was.
Yeah. Doing, and that's how it is with parenting too. The industry standards are consequences, usually punishments, right? They're kind of this negative rewards, uh-huh. trying to come up with sticker charts or incentives or all these things that are, we don't use the industry standards probably as much in like the parenting realm, but it's the same concept, right? It's like the norm uh-huh. doesn't necessarily get us the results we want. And
yeah,
so questioning it is super powerful.
Yeah. And like nowadays, I think even a lot of parents have just given up. They're not even like reading the books anymore and even
I mean, honestly, I hate saying this, but it's true. I just see it too much. They like give up. They're not even like parenting anymore. There's a lot of kids that just spend time at school, daycare, after school programs. They have someone else watching them. It's someone else's responsibility to raise them. And there really is no parenting happening. Like, we live in like this gated community and we always go to this public pool, and it's always so interesting to sit there and just observe. And I just the other day, it's crazy we're talking about this right now. And the other day I'm sitting there and this mom had zero control over this 4-year-old little boy. Like, and then when he came out and he wouldn't listen to her, and he eventually came out probably because he just wanted the food she had, she was bribing him with, he like smacked her in the face.
Oh like, my gosh.
Wham. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, my daughter saw it. She's like, did you just see that little boy hit his mom? Like, yeah. And so that's what I mean when I say, like, I think parents just either don't know what to do, or they're like, I give up, like, you know, to get him out of here. Right. Andy, how do you help us?
Well, I want to talk about that 4-year-old because I think this is so fascinating. I'm glad you brought that up. So I think when a parent, and I get it. Like, if you're that mom listening to this and you're at your wit's end and you've just kind of thrown in the towel, I understand, because I've had moments where I just feel like I don't have any other tools. I don't know where else to look. This feels impossible. So I understand, but it just takes a few tweaks in our understanding to realize what would lead the 4-year-old to slap his mom. I mean, and we're going to go hypothetical here because obviously we don't have the mom and the 4-year-old here.
Right.
And I will say, you know, that toddler phase is the most violent phase of the human, you know, timeline. Like, that's the age that we just tend to have unbridled emotions and all of those things. But I think what we aren't being taught is this idea. It's called, there are different people call it different things. One psychologist might call it cascading care, where you have this idea of a caretaker and a dependent. And the parent is that caretaker, that person who's the authority. And I think sometimes we hedge away from talking about authority or hierarchy or alpha, because it can have a really negative connotation. You know, we like picked up the negativity of it. But with parenting and children, you know, when we're parenting children, we do need to have a leader so that there can be the child can be in a dependent role. It allows their nervous systems to relax and say, oh, mom can take care of me. I can relax and just trust that she's got me. Sometimes that gets a little messy because they want to fight back, or, you know, they might have a different agenda or idea of what they want that day. But what happens when we don't understand this dynamic is that the child needs his needs to be taken care of, especially a 4-year-old. They really are dependent on an adult for survival, literally for survival, for food, for shelter. They cannot make it on their own. Instinctively, they know that. And so if the mom isn't taking care of the needs or feels like she's kind of checked out or thrown in the towel, the child will go into that alpha position. And so when you see these kids that are alpha kids, we have a lot of this happening these days because parents aren't filling that alpha role. And when I say alpha, I hope people can hear it. It's a beautiful, caring, compassionate alpha role of, hey, I have more resources, more capacity to take care of your needs, so you can trust me, which lets their nervous system relax. And lets them grow, which they need that relaxed nervous system so that they can go through the developmental stages they need to, have emotional intelligence, all of the things. If they're in fight or flight mode because mom's not taking care of me, or she's just not stepping into that authoritative role, then I've got to take care of my own needs. That child starts becoming that alpha, bossy, you know, take over everything, out of control child. And now you have this weird flipped dynamic. So that's a little sneak peek maybe into what's happening.
Yeah.
Possibly. And it's just interesting. I think once we understand it, we can step more into the alpha role and not be afraid of, oh, my child needs me to be taking care of them so they can be dependent.
This is interesting. I can think of like several people that I know, different cases that I've worked with back when I was a social worker and stuff, that this is so true. And even like personally for me, I was not in a position growing up that like, it's okay, mom will take care of you, mom will protect you, or dad, you know, and oh my God, I totally developed into that alpha
field. Alpha role. Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit,
Andy. Yeah, isn't that so fascinating? I love that somebody, it's an analogy to kind of illustrate this need we have, but someone said, if you're flying on a plane, and it's having a lot of turbulence, and the pilot gets on and they seem really hesitant and unsure of themselves, everyone on that plane is going to start flipping out.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, because he's supposed to be taking care of us. And they've done studies where something like this has happened and just passengers will just step up and start trying to take over. Like that role needs to be filled by someone. We need to feel safe. And so, yeah, it's just, it's a kind of a cool analogy to think about.
Yeah.
Oh, I could see myself on a plane and really being uncomfortable. If that pilot can't take care of me, someone's mm-hmm. got to take care of me, or I'm going to figure out how to take care of me or reassure myself or go take over, you know, something.
Right. Well, and then that child, like you said, like their nervous system, it's always like up here, right? Okay.
Right.
So then what happens to that developing child when they're like always up here and on edge, you know, like, man,
so much,
yeah. Right? I've got to believe that just turns into everything. And then that's the child or teenager that ends up like breaking or, you know, snapping and yelling and then getting in trouble for their mouth. And you sit there and probably go, well, yeah, no crap. They're talking back to you. Like, duh.
They've had to take care of themselves. Right.
They have to.
So the teacher can't be they've got to be the alpha in the classroom. They've got to be the alpha, you know, in all the settings. And then think of, there've been some studies where they go to like a juvenile hall where people, you know, young kids go to prison, so to speak. Right. And it's the same. You have all of these kids that had this similar scenario. They're all in alpha position. They are fighting with each other. They can't get along. But the interesting thing is that they've studied the prefrontal cortex development. So they actually can do a scan and see how big the prefrontal cortex, and it's underdeveloped in these young men that have not had the opportunity to be cared for, so that the emotional intelligence has been stifled and they truly don't have. And it's not that it's the end of the story for them, because there is ways for them to continue to develop it. But up to this point, they haven't been able to develop it. And so it's fascinating, like you were saying, the toll it takes on our emotional well-being, you know, because we'll obviously grow up physically. That's inevitable. But the emotional development, it happens spontaneously, but it's not inevitable if they're not able to have the right conditions. Yeah. So, yeah.
Interesting. This is really interesting. So parents, listen up, because even more, especially you, mama, listening, like your parents need you to be in charge.
They do.
They need you to show up and not just a screaming psycho.
No. Yeah. And that doesn't actually necessarily say I'm in charge and I can take care of you. Right. The screaming psycho sometimes gives the message of, I have no idea what to do. I've completely lost my mind. You better figure this out, you know? So we do want to step into the alpha role and really be a balance of compassion and firmness. And I think that's also sometimes where we get it wrong, is and I can see this sometimes in myself as well, especially when I look back to my pre-reformed yelling times, where I would vacillate between really soft and, oh, so, you know, let them get away with everything, and then really authoritative and, you know, almost stepping into a dictator role. And we have to marry those. You have to have the authority, but it comes from this compassion and firmness, because it's not our role as a parent that gives us that authority. It's our relationship. Like, it's the
Amen
trust.
To that.
It's the trust. And it's not that they have to like everything we do. I'm not saying, you know, that's passive to just give them everything they want, but they have to trust us, just in the same way we don't take advice from people we don't trust. Someone could give you advice, and if you don't like them or you don't respect them, you're not going to listen at all. Yeah. And if we want that impact and influence over our child, they have to respect us and they have to be cared for by us. And they have to feel like they need to choose us. Mm-hmm. They really need to choose us to be their leader.
Well, and I think as kids get older too, especially when they start hitting that preteen and then the teenage years, it's really important, that respect, because I hear that's when kids really throw back and they're like, well, you don't do it. What are you talking about? You know, you're telling me to do this, but you don't do it. And I see this a lot in sports too. Like, I'm on the sideline and then my daughter's on the court. So I hear all the parents and my daughter hears the kid's mouth. So I'll be sitting there and this mom, who maybe isn't in the best shape ever and doesn't know how hard they're working out there, she's like, just try. You don't even look like you're trying. Why can't you go faster and jump higher? Like, what's going on with you? And then the daughter's going, my mom is so clueless. I don't think she's ever run a mile in her life, you know? And my daughter and I will meet up after and she'll be like, did you hear so-and-so's mom yelling? And, you know, and I'm like, yeah. And what did she say? And she's like, oh my God, she doesn't like her mom at all. And there's that zero respect. So I see it from like a health and fitness standpoint too.
Yes.
Like, ladies, get your shit together, you know, take care of yourself, build that confidence, build that self-love, build your body, because that says a lot for your kids to be like, oh, well, mom actually works out and she stays in shape. So if she tells me to do something, there's more respect there. Right? I'm getting this right. Right, Andy?
You are getting it absolutely right. Yeah. It's the physical, you're saying it in a physical sense, which is 100% right. And the emotional sense is the fitness, the mental, emotional fitness we have to be in as parents to be, like, we can't be yelling at our kids and expect them not to yell. You know, like so often you hear that, stop yelling at your sister, you know, and it's, well, how is she going to be able to translate that when you're saying it, when you can't handle it yourself, you're not being the leader that you actually want her to follow. So yeah, it's the same thing as a mom who can't run a mile, who doesn't have, my girls are competitive gymnasts. So often I'm, and I did that too. So I have some understanding of the effort it takes, you know, to do that kind of stuff. But it's interesting to hear parents or to hear their siblings not understand the work that it takes to get to that level of excellence. And with parenting, it's the same way. I mean, I love being able to think about, you know, you have a workout plan and a diet and a food plan or whatever. You need to have a parenting plan. You've got to have an intentional plan to up-level your parenting too. And that's how we become better and better at it, is just that intentionality of doing it.
Okay. So I'm a listener. I'm hearing you say this. I'm sitting there in my minivan right now, listening to this podcast going, oh God, I'm the yeller. I don't think my kids respect me. Like, what steps can we take? Yeah. How do we stop yelling and build that authority muscle. Figure again? Yeah, that muscle.
The muscle. The muscle. I think one of the first steps that can be really powerful is to step into curiosity. I mean, so often times, and we've been trained to look at the problems and to find out who's to blame for it, right? And it's usually not us, it's our kids. They're messy, and we'll be happy when the mess isn't there, or we'll be happy when they stop fighting, or we'll be, you know, and to get curious and think to ourselves, okay, what if I wonder why, or another example, or I wonder why they're messy, I wonder why the room's messy, or I wonder how I'm contributing to this, because there's a tug of war. When we use the phrase tug of war, it's, we both have to hold the rope. So if I drop my end of the rope and I start getting curious and I start taking my self's emotional well-being seriously, and I start confronting the stuff that's causing me to react in that way, to have my nervous system get so triggered when, you know, the kids are fighting. And there might be a really good reason. It might be that when I was a kid, my parents really overreacted when we fought. And so now I have this story that I'm bringing into parenting. Just understanding that all of that's so beautiful to discover and find out, because curiosity will lead us to understanding, which will lead to shifting. I'm sure you could probably give an analogy when you're working with your people. It's this thing, if they're so critical about, I can't do this, this is never going to work, you know that they're stuck until they soften and at least open up to the possibility that something else is available to them, and get actually honest about the reason they're not losing weight. It might be because they're sneaking little something here or not actually being consistent, you know? So the same thing with parenting, where am I deceiving myself that I think I'm showing up and I'm actually not?
Oh God. And that's such a hard pill to swallow too, with fitness, saying like, I'm going to the gym, but I'm going on the elliptical and I'm like doing 10 squats and then I go home. But I'm like, I go to the gym every day.
Yeah.
Same thing with parenting. Like, I told them 30 times and I asked them nicely, and the kid's not listening, and really like seeing how you're the problem. Like you said, how are you contributing to this? And that's hard. And I really hope people listen to this podcast and it makes them take a step back and go, okay, I got to take some ownership in here, because it's not all my kids. It starts here.
It starts right here. Yeah, it starts with, I always say, you, not them first, you know?
Yes. Ooh, you need that on a t-shirt, girl.
I know, you, not them. And what happens is when we start changing how we show up, it's crazy how other things, even if everything's the same, the way we're viewing it is different. Now I'm not as triggered when the mess is there, right? But the other thing is, we have these mirror neurons in our brains that can work for us too. So we start having a different perception, different ideas about our children and about ourselves. And our children's, they are actually built to co-regulate, to mirror our mirror neurons. Like, we have so much working for us if we can get our stuff together.
Mm.
It's not some people are like, well, I don't want to do all the work. The kids need to help. I'm like, they will, but they're never going to respect you, back to what we were saying, if you're not showing up and doing your stuff. And you're not going to be able to make a change if you're just doing the same old patterns, right? Doing the same thing over again is what they say, the definition of insanity or something. Yeah. And so,
Today's episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. AG1 has been a game changer for me. It is so easy to take every single day and know that I am working on my gut health, getting more energy, optimizing my immune system, and I hated taking all the pills and vitamins. All you need is one scoop of AG1 into a cup of water every day, shake it up, drink it first thing in the morning if possible on an empty stomach, and you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. And I love that they have less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty tasting chemicals or anything, while still tasting good. And it helps support better sleep quality and recovery, mental clarity. And you guys, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. And right now is the time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially with all of the sickness going on. My daughter just came home yesterday and said, Mom, everyone at school is sick and coughing and has a sore throat. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And I know you guys have heard this ad before and you have been on the fence. And I'm telling you, it's time to jump in and do it, because they're going to give you 1 free year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packets with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/bombmom. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/bombmom to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. What are you waiting for? Go get yours today.
I love that. Like, the first thing you said was like, just like getting curious about it. And because there's so many times where I could go into my teenage daughter's room and the 30,000 things on her floor, you know, that I asked her to pick up, you know, 20,000 times, she didn't. I could totally go in there sometimes and just be like, oh my God, don't you ever listen to me? I almost just tripped, and just like lose my shit on her. Right. But if I use this just very simple thing you just said, curiosity, I'm just like curious. Why hasn't she picked it up yet?
Right.
What's going on inside, or what's going on with her homework, or like things,
or our relationship,
or our relationship.
I mean, sometimes they will, you ask them, the only reason they won't pick it up is because you're off, and they're like, I won't do anything mom says right now.
Yeah. I walk out the door and she's giving me the middle finger.
Right.
And I don't even know.
I actually want my room clean, but because mom asked me, I can't do it now. You know?
Yeah.
It could almost be that. So there's so many reasons. Or is she stressed at school? Or did something happen with a friend today? I have no idea. But if I give her the benefit of the doubt and believe she's doing her best today, even if her best is a 1 out of 10, and believe that there's a reason why she's at a 1 today. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Then they feel that energy, and they feel that we've got their back. I'm here to support you. And we can still be compassionate and firm. We still might need the room cleaned up, but we're coming with it. We're coming to that situation with such a different energy, with such a different emotion. Right. Instead of, she's so selfish or she's so lazy, we're like, I wonder what's happening. I wonder if I have a part in this, you know?
Right.
I wonder how I can help make this easier for her.
Right. Oh man. So many parents are just not taking a moment and asking themselves that question. So I really hope this wakes them up. But I love how, just like we were talking about in your book, you know, Connect to Method Parenting, about how it's the level or the communication.
Right.
And the connection with your child. It's not, you know, you're not pulling out all these bullet points for us of like, step one, wake up every day and make sure your kids' shoes are lined up, so then you don't have to yell about shoes. Like, I've literally read books that have said things like that.
Yeah, me too. In my search, there was so many, but it's not that external stuff. It's the internal stuff
internal stuff.
Yeah. Yep. The inside stuff. And that makes all the difference. Yeah.
So if I'm sitting there and my daughter's socks are all over the floor for the 100th time, and I get to that level where I'm just like, I want to lose it because I've asked so many times, what are things that I can do to stop myself from going in that direction? Right. Because I always say that in fitness, like, you can either go on that path, like you're at this moment of awareness of like, well, first you have to become aware, right? Like, and identify that you're at that moment.
Yes.
You have to be like, okay, I'm here and I can either go here or I can go here. As a parent, how do I make the right choice?
Yeah, you're at the crossroads.
Right.
I have something I call the stop, drop, and roll that is super simple. I like it because it reminds me, I think in first grade, the firemen came.
Oh, yeah.
You know, uh-huh. Taught us all how to do stop, drop, and roll. And I feel similar when we're emotionally so hot that it feels like we're going to blow our top off. Mm-hmm. And we are just about to spew fire on everyone, that we almost need to do this cool down. How do I get myself in a place where I can actually think logically? Because when we're emotionally triggered, or I like say like when our emotions are high, our intelligence is low. It's literally, it's a physiological thing where we go into fight or flight mode and that higher thinking goes offline and we just go into autopilot. So
I never thought of it like that before.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's happening physiologically. So I always, if I can feel my emotions are super hot or super high, I know that my thinking is not online. And so I want to just give myself a second to hopefully give my nervous system a minute to start regulating again so I can think logically. Otherwise, I'm just going to go into subconscious programs, like what yes. I was taught as a child, this is not okay, all the old ways. So STOP is, it's an acronym, I guess, see the other person. So I want to just stop and see the other person, because so oftentimes I'm seeing the behavior, I'm seeing the socks all over the floor, I'm definitely not seeing them as a person, seeing them as an object or a problem. So I want to actually see them as a person. And this just allows me to do that and like stop, see the other person. And sometimes I will literally lay on the floor. I know that sounds so crazy, but when we move our bodies in different ways, it changes things.
Yep.
It allows our bodies, like, what are you doing laying on the floor, on the carpet, in the, you know, and all of a sudden my focus is somewhere different and it gets me off the socks and in somewhere else. So it gives my nervous system a little bit better chance to relax. So, or go for a run or go jump on the trampoline, do something to move mm-hmm. your body, because you do have a chemical reaction. When we have a belief or a thought about the socks, there's chemicals released in our body. And all of a sudden we have these emotions, you know, that are a result of this chemical. And so we need to move that, you know, moving our body helps move those emotions. So see the other, stop, which is see the other person, and then drop, which is don't react, observe patiently. That's what the drop stands for. And so that's sometimes when I literally, if I'm really hot, and I'm really triggered, I'll just lay on the floor and be like, hey, drops, don't react, see, observe patiently. And I'm observing my own body. I'm asking those, dropping into curiosity. If I am really critical, I'm asking myself getting even curious about the critical part of me. Why am I so upset about the socks? You know, like, why is this really hard for me to see today? What am I making it mean about my child? What am I making it mean about me? A lot of times we are making it mean that it's not working. I'm not being a good parent. Something's wrong with me. Right. And then a lot of times similar story towards our kids. So I'm even just trying to be curious about anything and neutralize it so that I can just understand it, because there's always a reason we have the stories we have.
Right.
I mean, our nervous system is trying to protect us. So when we have a little story that gets lodged in our subconscious, there's a reason the 100 socks on the floor asking 20 times or whatever that story is bringing up for us. There's a reason that it's there. And so affirming our own nervous system, like, it's okay. I know you're just trying to keep me safe, but I don't need to believe this story anymore. Sometimes I'll touch my chest. That's why I'm doing that right now. And then the role is relax, open, listen, learn. So typically by this place, I've tried to stop and see the other person. I've tried to not react, but observe patiently myself and them, ask myself kind of these questions in my head. And some of the moms I work with, they'll write out the questions and keep it in their back pocket. So they'll pull it out and start, because we need help, as we can't always just think of them in the moment. And then relax, open, listen, learn, which just, I'm literally just saying, it's okay. I'm relaxing. I'm trying to open up my heart instead of close it down. I'm trying to be open to the possibility that I contributed to this, or that there's a really good reason why my child did this. And then listen and then learn. And then I can make a decision. How do I ask her to pick up the socks? Do I care about it today? Maybe right now I'm still too triggered. I need to wait for 30 minutes and go do something else and come back to it. But it's a really beautiful pause button instead of just taking the road we always take. Mm-hmm. Going down that old neural pathway that's so, you know, so well trodden.
So
we just want to go it. We just do. So
That's, and I love writing it down, like on like one of those like index cards, and like putting it in your kitchen drawer, you know, like, or in your desk, or just having one sit in your car, and maybe putting them in all different places to remind you of each step, you know, to calm down. But as you're like talking, and I know we're talking about kids today and parenting, but all of these techniques and everything we're talking about could completely be applied to every relationship, especially with our partners.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Because those heated discussions start too with socks on the floor.
Right. Or the toothpaste not done right, or the whatever, right?
Yeah. And then 100%. We as a woman, we're just like, you don't respect me. You don't even listen. You don't even care. And we take it to another level where the man could just be like, I didn't even know my socks were on the floor. And you're like, you did that on purpose. And they're cleanless. But
I know.
Because we're just so on that same path of just react, respond, emotion driven, boom.
Yeah.
We're missing it. And so I love that we can completely use this in other areas too.
Yeah. I've used it in my marriage 100% because I have a lot of meanings that my husband doesn't have. So the socks on the floor to me means something. For him, it means something different. He's like, what's the problem with the socks on the floor? It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. And I'm like, it means we're messy or you're not respecting me or, you know. And so, yeah, to be able to open up to the different stories we have and heal those relationships too. Exactly. Yeah. So powerful.
Okay. So I have to ask, like, how can we help our kids to just listen better? Like, are there ways that we can help our kids to improve their listening skills? Because I'm pretty sure all three of mine are deaf.
Like, I know, right?
I'm pretty sure. I'm like, are you sure you can hear, Mom? Because I've asked you a lot. Do we need to get your hearing checked?
Yeah.
Are there ways that we can improve these skills?
Yeah. There are, I mean, all of the stuff we've talked about is going to improve, right? Anytime we're slowing down, getting curious, being less critical, taking ownership for our part in what's going wrong, all of that's going to help them. But one thing that I really think is powerful that we forget when we're talking, like if we're specifically going up to our kids and saying, can you pick up your socks, or you need to go, giving them a direction, is to get to see them, look at them in the eyes, read the room, and see where they're at. And what I mean by that is if we were to go to lunch with a friend and the friend was not making eye contact, maybe turned around and put their back towards us or walked away, we would stop and think, okay, something's off right now and we need to get that before we have, you know, go on with lunch. But with our kids, sometimes they're giving us all of these clues that this relationship isn't working. We don't have it to a working relationship status. And we're just bulldozing them. We are totally inconsiderate of reading where they're at. They're rolling their eyes. They're turning away. They're ignoring us. I mean, if we went to lunch with a friend and we were literally having a conversation, they were not responding to us, ignoring us, we would definitely take a look at that and okay, what's happening? What's going on? Right. And we would address the relationship first before we went on to something else. So that's a really simple thing we can just keep in our mind is, do we have a working relationship with my child before I start giving them a direction? And if not, let me establish that first before I go to step two. Mm-hmm. And coming in close, looking at them in the eye, seeing if they'll nod, if we say something, see if they'll smile, if we say something funny, all of those are going to be clues for us to start to decide, am I ready to go to step two, which is give them a direction? Because if not, let's just stay in step one and establish the working relationship. Maybe we need to have a, you know, just sit down and talk with them about something totally unrelated, or have a, you know, play or go do an activity together or something, right? Something that we can establish that working relationship before I say, hey, you need to go clean up your room. It's kind of messy. We've talked about this, you know.
That's going to be hard for some people listening to this to ask that question. Do I have a working relationship with this child?
Mm-hmm.
Because the answer might be for a lot of listeners, no.
No.
There's been damage. They don't respect, you know, everything we've already talked about. That answer could be no.
Right. And I think it's just a good one to confront. Like, if I don't have a working relationship, you still need to maybe have the house cleaned and them contribute, but can I equally put attention and time and effort and energy into creating a better relationship with my child, even if they're not really open to it at first? Because if we've shown up, and I get this because we've all made mistakes, or we're not happy with what we've said or done, or we've lost our mind on them and they're, you know, they have reason to maybe be a little standoffish.
Yeah.
But if we can just believe it's okay, like I can repair that, it's never too late. And what can I do genuinely, not because I'm trying to, I want to go do this thing with them so that they like me or so that we can repair the relationship, but genuinely, I do care about them. And regardless of how they respond to me, I'm investing in the relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm in this for the long haul. And just being really curious about what would that look like for you to invest without needing the validation back from them that like, right? Mom, you're doing a good job. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, we have to be willing to have a one-way connection. And sometimes moms are really hesitant because they're like, that's not fair or that's not realistic. A relationship has to be two ways. But a lot of my teenagers have these undying devotion almost to these movie stars or singers.
Right.
And they know everything about them and they feel so connected to them. And that person probably will never know my children's names. But that doesn't negate the feeling that they have for them or the respect they have for them. And so as a parent, even if it feels like we're the only one investing in the relationship, that's okay for a while. I think that's a beautiful thing. And do it freely without needing to be validated or have them give you something in return. Because especially if we can trace back to, hey, I've messed up or I haven't shown up.
Right.
Let the kids take as long as they need to decide that they can trust you again. Mm-hmm. And just, I think if the question is, how can I create a working relationship? How can I improve the relationship? What can I give freely, you know, without any strings attached? That's going to be a good question that will help regardless. And even if it doesn't ever turn around the way you want to, at least at the end of the day, you can say, I tried my hardest to repair. Yeah. Like I did my best and I'm human and I messed up and I did my best after that. And mm-hmm. That's, I think, huge. It's just feeling like we did our best.
And I think the kids will remember that too.
They will.
Even if like right now, it's not the time they will remember that they tried, but just like fitness and health and stuff. And we live in an instant gratification world where we're like, I swiped, respond, you know,
right.
Like why internet fast now, give me, connect. It doesn't work that way with human relationships, but we like treat it and expect it to still. So just reminding you parents that like, if Andy's speaking to you and you're like, oh man, I have messed up in the past. And a lot of this probably is on me. It's going to take time.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of time. And you just have to ask yourself like, well, how bad do you want this relationship with the child? Because if the answer is like, they're my everything, they're my world, then you don't stop. There
right.
is an end point.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, and if that's the goal, who cares if it takes 1, 2, or 5 years?
Right.
It doesn't matter. Right. I'm like, just going to keep trying to figure this out because that's my goal anyway. And I'm okay, you know, having it take as long as I need to, that infinite timeline. It's okay.
I saw this meme or I don't know, something. And it said, it was talking about your relationship with your kids. And basically they're saying how childhood is like an audition because your real relationship and you spend way more time in their life with them as an adult.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they're a kid, it's like you're almost auditioning for that position to be with them when they're an adult later in life, you know. And if you mess that up when you're a kid and you ruin that and you never repair it and fix it, and they're an adult, they get to choose whether or not they spend Christmas with you or you see their kids or.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They get to choose. I always say I want them to call me when they don't have to.
Yes.
That's what my goal is. And I have a 23-year-old and a 19-year-old and a 20-year-old. Anyway, I have these adult kids and it's so they don't need me. I mean, in the same way they needed me when they were younger, right? They don't need me for money. They're living on their own. And that when they call and they are doing it out of free choice, that is the biggest just return. Like, it just feels so good. It's like, oh my gosh, we have a relationship where they choose me. And even if they're just asking for advice, but they don't take it, I don't even care. It's just that they care what my opinion is, or they want my feedback, or they're struggling and they say, hey, I'm having a hard day. Can I talk to you? And that, you're absolutely right. That's what we're really auditioning for. They choose us.
Yeah. If you look at it, like their childhood from when they're born to when they take off, it's gone. Like in a blink of an eye, it's so small in comparison to the rest of their life.
Right.
In a relationship.
Yeah. So true. Okay. Yeah.
Andy, how can people work with you? Because you offer a coaching program called the League of Extraordinary Connected Parents. Tell me a little bit about this.
Yeah, it's such a fun group of moms. I mean, there's a few dads in there too, but it's a group where we get together. There's some, I call it the master's course, the Connect Method Parenting Master's course people can go through.
Oh, cool.
And we have weekly calls that they get to jump in and a private community where they get to share their wins and their struggles and just really support them in implementing it, because that it's parallel to fitness too. It's like, I can know all of the things, but doing them is a whole nother thing. Yes. And so, you know, so like I have a unique way of framing up the framework for parenting, you know, in this Connect Method parenting framework that's based in developmental psychology and all the things. So I have this, hey, let's lay the foundation. But even after you have the foundation and the knowledge, the support to actually stick with it and do it and work through the scenarios that come up that stump you, that's what we do in the group. And it's so, so, so fun to be able to watch everybody just continue to grow and evolve and implement to become more and more confident in their skills and abilities. So that's what we do over at League. Yeah.
Do they have a course? Like, is there like a membership site that they get access to and they learn through that?
Yeah. There's multiple things. Yeah. They get a workbook and multiple things in the course and all of that. So
oh my God, I love that. And you're genius to do this with parenting too. And I know sometimes because I have people like get on membership site and you have like worksheets to fill out and like you create your workbook and people roll their eyes to that sometimes. And I'm like, no, you guys, doing the work and taking like pen to paper is so powerful. So I can only imagine how powerful it is when you're talking about your parenting style and your children, because I know how powerful it is when you're talking about your food and nutrition and your goals and self-sabotaging behavior and all of that. So
all this,
all of that. I can only imagine how powerful that is when you're like being honest and real and doing the work that you need us to do with parenting and our relationships.
Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. It's beautiful to have people self-confront, to learn something new. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. And pen to paper. I'm a huge fan of pen to paper. Lots of
me too.
Of ways they can be honest with themselves. There's something about writing it down that makes it less powerful. I mean, if you get to see it and then you get to decide, oh, that's what's happening and I can pivot or I can keep it, you know, depending on if I like it or not. And then to have live interaction with people to be able to bounce off real life scenarios of here's what I learned in the course and now here's how I applied it and here's how it worked or didn't work and let's keep iterating on it. So it's so fun.
Oh, Andy, this has been like absolutely incredible.
Oh, thank you. It's been so fun.
Oh my God. Just so eye-opening and just, it gives us hope too. Like I think any mom or dad listening that's like, oh my God, you know, no, my kid's just an asshole. Like, no, they're not. There's things there and you need to connect with them. And there's different layers that you need to get to help that child. That's like a red flag. Like if your kid's a jerk and doing all these things, that's a huge red flag, right? Like something's going on.
Something's going on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dig deeper, look, get curious. There's always a way to turn it around.
Okay. Tell us where we can find you. We'll put it in the show notes too, but tell everyone where we can find you.
Yeah. So my website with all the details about League and other free resources you can download is connectmethodparenting.com. And then on Instagram, it's just Andy Martineau, my name. So okay.
Awesome.
That's where you can find me. Yeah.
Yes. We will put all of that in the show notes.
Thank you.
Thank you again for coming on. You guys, if you really want to take your parenting to a whole nother level or just open up your eyes to the possibility of the relationship that you can have with your kids, get a hold of Andy. Get involved in her program. Read the book, Connect Method Parenting. So many things, so many ways that you can just, you don't have to have, I always say like, you don't have to live a life that you're not satisfied with, you know?
And exactly. I love that. Yes.
Same thing with your kids and your relationship with them. You don't have to just be like, oh my God, I can't wait till they get older. Or I can't wait till they move out.
Right.
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. We don't want to survive parenting. You want to thrive, you know, you want to enjoy it. You want to have so much fun. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you again for coming on, Andy. And everyone listening, check her out, go to the show notes and stay safe, stay healthy. Until next time.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. This is given with the understanding that neither the host, practice of the practice, or the guest are providing legal, mental health, nutritional, or other professional information. If you need a professional, you should find one.